a lot of money.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. This is episode 372. We got a lot of movies to talk about today. We're going to be doing Pirates of the Caribbean, War Machine, Christine, and maybe another take on King Arthur.
We're going to get another take on King Arthur. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it might be a different take.
It might be. Slightly different.
Based on the pre-show rumblings.
Yes.
There's a teaser. We're teasing what's going to happen later in the thing you're already listening to.
So, well, first of all, we want to thank all of our Patreon subscribers. Your patrons have been great. We're really close to that first goal. Really close.
We're like 952, so we're literally about 48 bucks away from the $1,000 goal, which means we can do 2 spoiler eps a month.
Yes.
So we want to do that. We're very close. And here's one of the things we're doing that we're adding. So what we decided, because many of you were asking on the Comedy Film Nerds YouTube page, can we see the whole hour video? So what we decided to do is we're going to release the whole hour of the regular shows to the Patreon backers. And then we will release clips throughout the week for free to everybody on the YouTube page. So
another reason to do Patreon.
Another reason we have to make the Patreon as valuable as possible.
We're adding value as much and as quickly as we can.
And every week we have a guest do a movie recommendation that's not on the regular episode that'll go on the Patreon at the $5 level, the $10 level. You get the bonus episode. You get the bonus video.
You get Neil's episodes.
You get Neil episodes. You get all that stuff. So, which we just released last week, Neil's bonus episode.
Yep.
That you would be unlocked for you at the $10 level.
Yes. A lot of really interesting stuff going on in movie news.
And the way Patreon does it, so whatever month you donate in, you don't get charged till the first of the next month. So, like, if you do today, which is May 30th when we're recording and releasing this, you'll get charged June 1st, but then you'll get all your rewards in June.
Right.
So it behooves you to do it post-haste.
Yes. Immediately. I think is...
that's the term. That's the term we're looking for.
So, and if those of you have already done it, thank you so much.
Yeah, everyone that's been supporting us, you guys have been fantastic. Let's introduce our guest. It's been a while.
He hasn't been on in a while.
It's been several years. Last time he was on the show, we were in your garage.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, you guys moving on up,
That's right.
Yeah. George and Wheezy over here.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we've got white neighbors that are nerds and interracial people. We've got great stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is Mr. Eric Griffin. How are you, sir?
Good. Good to see you guys again. How are you doing?
All right. You've been on the road. You've been doing all kinds of crazy business.
Yeah, actually, I have not been on the road. I am going to be in Mohegan Sun in Connecticut this weekend.
Nice.
But I've just been shooting stuff. You know, I did, obviously, I'm dying up here.
We're going to talk about that later on the show. We'll get into the whole thing.
And then during pilot season, I did a couple of pilots that didn't get picked up.
Nice.
That's how that goes. So I've just been shooting. I haven't been actually traveling as like I used to, like a road dog. I haven't been a road dog. I'm just an actor now.
Do you miss the road dogginess or do you prefer being home?
I actually like both. I always wanted to be a comic, so I enjoy doing comedy. But now I just want to improve the type of comedy, like the travel and where and the money, you know what I mean?
You mean you don't want to fly coach and stay in a condo with a 23-year-old and his girlfriend smoking weed or something like that?
He doesn't have a house.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I just live on the road. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not.
And they're selling their, like, whatever, their beer cozy. You know what I mean? with that one joke they think is hilarious on the, you know? All the local references. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, I feel you, man. First class, nice theater gig.
Yeah, that's what you want.
2 shows a week.
I guess it's like, that's the ultimate. That's like if you're a magician, you end up with your own show in Vegas.
Right.
Like, that's the top. Mm-hmm. There's nothing higher than that. So for a comedian, what's the highest level for a comedian? I guess it's like when you're doing, like, theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And you're flying private.
That's the highest level when you're.
And even you're doing Vegas. You know, the highest level of comedy in Vegas is when you're driving into the strip, there's a big ass picture of you
That's it. And
on the 15.
And it's huge.
Yeah, it's like six stories high. Yeah. They're not messing around.
And first of all, you're not driving. You're being flown there. And then
Right, you don't even see it. You don't even see it.
Yeah.
And of course.
And then you get flown out after your show. You don't even stay the night.
No, when you're when you're there in Vegas, you're wondering if, is there a big picture of me on the 15? Because I didn't see it because I flew in.
And it just so have like one word.
Yeah.
It won't have your full name. It's just your photo.
Eric.
It just says Eric. That's what I want. I just want to chop her into Vegas and just see Graham.
Eric's not a good name. Graham's a great name for that. Graham's like Jack Hay. You know what I mean?
Or Elwood.
Elwood.
That's what I want. Elwood. Yeah, boom.
But then you sound like a crazy person.
That's fucking right I do.
Elwood.
That's my marketing.
Too close to Elron. You know what I mean?
Too close to Elron. I could start my own fake religion and become a billionaire from it.
Well, this is sort of a fake religion, your podcast.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely a fake religion.
You're already asking people for money.
Yeah.
You're already putting out the collection plate.
Hey, it makes save your sense. Soul. Yeah. Save your souls, you guys. If you don't want to go to hell, donate to our Patreon page. And believe me,
that's one of the
you'll
tiers.
Be rewarded in heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you spiritual fulfillment.
Yes. Is there a suitcase that we have to open at the different levels of your podcast? Yes. You know? Yeah, for $100 a month, you guys get.
Yeah, for $500 a month, your e-meter, oh, it'll be amazing.
You'll meet the lizard people.
Which we're having on next week's show. It's going to be a fantastic podcast, everybody. Join our.
Yeah, they have a new show, too. So.
I would love a Scientology movie review show because they don't even watch anything, right?
It'd just be batshit nuts.
It's like North Korea, right? They don't even know that entertainment exists.
Oh, Jack Reacher 2 is fantastic. That's what it just be.
It's all Tom Cruise.
That's all it is.
Oh, man, that'd be hilarious.
Giovanni Ribisi and Will Smith. That's all they do.
John Travolta.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a lot of great movies in there, though.
Yeah, yeah. Battlefield Earth.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Underrated.
Enemy of the State was just brief, you know, that could be good stuff.
Enemy of the State was good. Travolta's the one that doesn't, he has a lot of clunkers.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a lot of clunkers.
Yes, he does. Face Off?
Yeah. Speaking of clunkers, let's get into the first movie. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No
Tales. Dead Men Tell No Tales.
I've seen all of these movies, and I have to say it's one of those franchises, even though if I've seen them all, I've kind of lost track how many there were. This was the fifth one.
I thought it was more than that.
Fifth one. This is the fifth one.
There's five of these?
There's five of them, yes. And you know, there's three that are in the main continuity. There's one, number four, was a bit of a side story with Jack Sparrow. And now this one brings us back to our continuity and Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley return after 10 years away from the franchise. That is in the trivia. However, don't get too excited. They're cameos. They're in there for a few minutes each, if that, maybe a couple of shots. And going into this movie, we saw it, the whole family went. And it's the kind of movie that no one really expects it to be good. In fact, on our website, Neil pretty much tore it apart. So he absolutely hated it. I was just remembering back to remember when the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie came out?
Yeah.
It introduced Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow, how they had to fight to actually get him in the movie before he was this is the movie that really broke him into mainstream. And it was like, it kind of followed this weird basic logic, and it was a fun popcorn movie. The first Pirates of the Caribbean was not a bad film, popcorn movie.
You're basing a movie on a Disney ride.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but there was an attempt to actually make it interesting and a fun popcorny movie. You know, there's some great lines like.
Yeah, but he's great though.
Let's just be clear.
Well, what I'm saying is let's be clear about something. Like, they can't do these movies without him.
Right. There's no way.
So even with a bad story, good story, he's the center, the focus of the movie because he is fantastic. Even in the bad movies, he reminds me of Iron Man. What's his name?
Robert Downey.
It's the same thing.
Right.
And they have that same thing.
And if you remember the way the first Pirates of the Caribbean was set up, he shared the spotlight with Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, and it wasn't like the Jack Sparrow story.
It became that, though.
It totally became that, absolutely. And I remember that even like there were some good lines like best start believing in ghost stories because you're in one and the interesting special effects. And it was a fun, unexpected popcorn movie. And then they proceeded to get worse and worse and worse and more unwatchable as the franchise progress to the point where, well, that now you don't even have a script. These are just effects pages. These are just literally just one special effect after another that make no sense, and there's no cohesion or coherency into any of what you're doing.
Well, if you need that stuff for a
if you're going to nitpick.
Yeah, if you're going to nitpick about it.
And I just find it hard to believe that the director of Kon-Tiki didn't do a good job with this.
Isn't that weird?
Well, because I would imagine it would be because there's so much involved. Like what is the actual directing process of a $230 million budget movie? Like how much of it from the shooting to all the effects, like how much was he really involved in that, in the editing? It's like, you know, they probably took this animal away from him and it was off the leash.
It's a, it definitely felt like it was it's a by-committee kind of movie where the only purpose is to show Johnny Depp and then get to the next effect scene. That's really all this movie was. And it's interesting, it was that 2 hours and 9 minutes, the shortest of the Pirates franchise, didn't feel like the shortest at all. It did not feel the shortest. Now, there was one scene in the beginning that was kind of fun that reminded me of Fast and the Furious, where they're literally dragging a bank vault, but with horses.
I just see zombie sharks and everything.
Well, yeah, that's what kind of got me excited. Maybe they'll do some different interesting things. And like it is there were zombie sharks, which were fun and interesting for a few minutes, but then you're just barreling on to the giant effects shots at the end to the point where nothing's grounded and you're like, okay, well now, you know, I think Guardians of the Galaxy suffer from this a little bit, where you're just at the end, there's so many special effects and there's so many visual effects that are like, well now it's just a video game now.
I disagree with you on that, because I feel like this all goes down to story. Like, ignore the special effects. Ignore all that. Because the first Galaxy had tremendous special effects in it, too. It didn't lack in special effects.
No.
It just was a better movie.
Yeah.
So this is what happens is when the story sucks, when the performances suck, and the continuity and all that, then with the most glaring thing we see is all the special effects.
I think you're actually agreeing with me.
You know, I am. Yeah. I am, but at the same time, though, it's like I think that, like it's just, to me, it's the same amount of special effects. They do the same thing. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, here's Johnny Depp, and then we're going to go to a special effects. In the good Pirates of the Caribbean, it was the same thing. It's just that they just didn't do a good job with the story. They just forgot about that this was important.
Oh, they threw
and
it
I think
away.
That's a big problem that's happening in a lot of movies in Hollywood right now.
I totally agree. It's a disturbing trend of like, just get to the next effects shot.
It's a great point. When it is executed correctly, like let's say Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
It supports the story.
The effects support the story, because this, when you have no story, and then you just have actors coming in and phoning it in, or they were miscast, or whatever the problem is.
Right.
Then it's just
there was. By the way, there was all of those things.
Right.
In the movie,
because you kind of want to ignore the special effects, like Forrest Gump. You know.
Right.
Like people don't even realize how much special effects are in most movies now.
Well, Braveheart. Braveheart had a ton of special effects.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You just ignore. Yeah. You're supposed to not even know. You're supposed to find out later in like the DVD commentary. And you go like, what? That was a special effect. That's how it's supposed. That's supposed to be the reaction, but. I don't know. I have two kinds of categories for movies for myself right now. It is, am I at home and I have nothing to do, and then I'm just flipping through something and I just put it on, or I'm on a plane and this is one of the movies, would I watch it? I mean, the whole idea of like getting up and going to a theater and experiencing this big screen thing, it's like we have so much higher expectations because we want it to be awesome. And just more times than not, we're so disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, This is the kind of thing too, where it's pirates, it's supernatural. There's a fair amount of interesting stories you could tell. You know, all you have to do is find one. You know, like and try to recapture some of the charm of the first film. But these movies have been consistently doing worse and worse domestically. However, overseas, they continue to make a ton of money. So there's probably going to be more. The one effect that really stood out
for me.
So
they don't care that they did about $77 million this weekend.
No.
If on a $230 million budget.
Because they're getting it back overseas. Yeah, now, there was one special effect that was really, really caught my attention, how well done it was. They de-aged Johnny Depp for flashback, and we've seen that in movies now every time since Benjamin Button, but this was done in such an amazing fashion. It looked like you were watching Johnny Depp from, like, 21 Jump Street.
The Captain America one was great, too.
One was really good, too. But this one,
Russell, Guardians of the Galaxy,
yes,
was cool.
Another really good one.
That was a lot of that was just makeup.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I read about this one. This was really interesting. It was a mix of like a lookalike and digital effects. Like they did all these different things to de-age him, and it worked. He looked really, really good. But that's like a good example of like, okay, well, you're using effects now to serve the story. We're not just getting to this, all these giant effects shots at the end and throwing as much as you can at the screen just because, oh, it's the ending and it has to have the most effects shots. I'm like, no, it really doesn't. You know, just tell the story and have the effects support the story. That's all you have to
do. Well, I see it. Here's the thing. When you have a movie franchise like this and it's the same producers, at some point you need to like, everyone needs to be fired.
Right.
And then a new crew. Because this is what needs to happen with DC movies.
Yes.
Because they all suck.
Yes.
Like, whoever is doing Marvel, they got it right, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they have this team of people that are making these Avengers, Iron Man, Captain America movies, somewhat Thor, somewhat, mm-hmm. But either way, what I'm saying is they're enjoyable.
Even their misses are decent.
Even their misses are decent. Mm-hmm. Over in the DC world, it is absolutely horrible. Okay, like I can't even, and it makes me so mad because of how great the Marvel.
Well, I'm hoping Wonder Woman turns that around a little bit.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. And
we'll know in a week.
We sure will. But so the thing with something like Pirates, you know, it's like they had it. Now it's these same people trying to recapture. It's almost like they should have handed the reins off to someone else, and it could just be a completely different.
Right.
Which would be great.
Which would have been awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you, if they found these amazing storylines, wouldn't you be like, oh, I'm back on board with Pirates?
Yeah.
I know, but what happens
right
now?
Yeah, how are you going to find a good storyline with Pirates, Ghosts, Supernatural, Treasure, and Legends of the Sea?
No, but what happens is
Krakens.
you have a voice. You know, it's like a producer of music. You know, it's like, you know, when you hear a Neptunes track, every track sounds the same. You know, because it's Neptunes. This is exactly what's happening with Pirates. Mm-hmm. You know, it's exactly what happened with George Lucas and those three horrible ones he made. You know, of the Star Wars franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like because it's him, and so like, you're already invested. You know.
Right.
You know, so what I like about, like, to talk about that, what I like about with the new Star Wars, these are different. These do new stories. Yes. So one of them is going to be good, one of them is going to be bad, one of them is going to be like, but it's someone else.
But they're taking some chances.
They're taking some chances.
Within the parameters that Disney allows them to.
Right,
for sure.
But they're not with Pirates. Pirates is like, you literally could take scenes. Pirates is like a show like Family Guy where you don't even know what episode you're watching. You just remember the funny... The funny cutaways. That's how Pirates is. Like you could make a whole new movie with scenes from all
easily.
The movies.
You could cut together a fantastic movie.
You could watch this movie while you're like folding laundry or something and not be lost. And like, all right, come back 10 minutes later. Like, oh well, no. Like, there's so many arbitrary, nonsensical rules that they put in this movie. Oh, well, Jack Sparrow gave away his compass, so now the ghosts know where he is.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? That makes no sense.
But
he gave away his magic compass, now the ghosts are free and can come attack him.
When I look at this, though, when I look at the budget of $230 million and, you know, and even if it was like, who cares? Like, they make such a big deal about that. It doesn't matter because we're talking about a company
that doesn't want to be audited.
That makes, that makes billions and billions of dollars. And like this movie franchise with merchandising and everything, I think if they put a dollar amount by how much money they've made, and so Johnny Depp was like, yeah, I'll keep doing it. Because they paid him $60 million.
Yeah.
Like he's like, yeah, let's do another one.
Yeah.
Like that's the franchise that started all that nonsense.
And if you guys remember when the first movie was even being shot, like the executives were seeing the footage of Johnny Depp and they were getting really nervous. They're like, this is ridiculous. We can't release this. And Jerry Bruckheimer just said, let Johnny Depp do what he's doing. I'll take full responsibility. And then it became a big hit. And then, of course, then everyone looks like geniuses.
That's how they do it. But that's how, you know, we forget, but
this was before the fall of Johnny Depp. It was hard to get him cast. It was hard to let him do what he wanted to do. And this,
after the fall. This was the comeback.
This was,
he was on the comeback.
He was like doing like a bunch of
that
indies.
That was his Pulp
Fiction,
man.
This was the one, if you go from all of your cool indie cred to having someone dressed like you in a theme park, that's a huge comeback slash, you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, you're 40-ish at that point. Like, he was in his 40s, I think, mm-hmm. at that point. And this is the first time someone handed him a check for multiple millions of dollars for a project. And then the sequel. And then it was like a point where he was getting points and getting like, mm-hmm. so he was like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa. Like, yeah. this is the most successful financial success he's probably of all. That first Pirates check was probably more than he's gotten for Edward Scissorhands and all these other movies
21
combined.
Jump
21 I mean, just combined. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I have to give him credit for this. He did what he wanted to do in his prime. He was like, this is the movies I want to make. This is who I want to be known yeah. for. Now he's got kids and mistresses and like things
now
he got to take
care of. Now he's an alcoholic
of.
Who's abusive to ladies. So, yeah.
You got to pay for all that.
He's got a few legal problems.
You got to pay for that stuff. So,
I used to be big on board with this guy because of this movie, and I loved his independent stuff, and this was cool. And then he got drunk on people. Literally, he got drunk. But then he also got drunk on people telling him, oh, you're a hilarious comedian. And then he started making these movies that are not funny. Mordecai, Lone Ranger, these things are, someone was like, you could see like at cocktail parties, they're like, oh, Johnny's a great comedian. What?
The acting
And then you hear
George
about
Lucas.
He's hitting his girlfriend or whatever. Fuck him. Fuck his money and fuck everything he's doing. And fuck the Pirates.
And I feel bad, too, for, like, Orlando Bloom. Like, he really thought he was going to be something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
like, coming off Lord of the Rings, and it was like he was, like,
huge.
The guy. And then they put him in, like, this little one of those romantic comedies, mm-hmm. and it just bombed. And then it was like, what's he doing? And then he wasn't – I think he had a few – indie things, trying to be that guy. Right. That didn't work. And then he just ended up back in The Hobbit. You know, called him like, hey, man, you want to do The Hobbit? And he was like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah. How much am I going to get for that?
I still got the outfit from the first one.
Of course he does. He's got a little shrine in his, like, his Reseda condo. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? With a key thing. Do. Welcome, Orlando. You know, and then he just goes in.
He just gets Wi-Fi at the Panini. Panera or whatever.
No, but I mean, I can understand, like, you know, but it's not horrible what he's done, but I feel mm-mm. like I get the impression that he had a different idea of where his career was going to go.
Well, everything was pointing in that direction,
it was.
Too. After Lord of the Rings and after this was a huge movie, the first one. And he was one of the main stars. Right. Like I said, like, you know, Johnny Depp was in the movie, but...
And at that point, he was typecast, too, though, as like this swashbuckly. Because he looks great at that. Like,
but they were...
I don't want to see him in modern times. Well, get a sword in his hand.
When you put him next to, you know, 40-something Johnny Depp, it was like, oh, the studio is grooming this guy to be the next dude.
Yeah.
He was 28 or whatever. They saw the billboards that were just Orlando Bloom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they tried to do that in this movie too. They introduced like two new young, beautiful cast members, and they it doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But
work.
That's it. But you know, this is what, not to bring up another movie, but this is what I didn't appreciate about King Arthur.
Let's go into King Arthur.
So what I didn't appreciate about King Arthur, and what I don't appreciate about Hollywood in general, is, you know, you get a guy that you think, you know, this is a guy. This is the same guy that was in another horrible movie, the big robot movie, Pacific Rim. He was a star in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it doesn't work. Like, I don't know his name.
Charlie.
Okay.
He's from Sons of Anarchy. He was the lead in Sons of Anarchy.
I didn't watch Sons of Anarchy, so that's why I didn't know who he was.
Okay.
All right. So then, therefore, what he does doesn't translate.
But do you like mumbling?
You know what I mean? So here he is in this movie where it's like.
Because he goes to a jungle and mumbles in the Lost City of Z.
You know, it's a funny thing where we like beauty. We like pretty people. We think that we don't look at talent first. But in actuality, we actually really do care more about talent than we do about how someone looks. We just don't act like we do. But like when you have somebody, the first thing, if you have somebody super beautiful or super handsome in a movie and they suck, we kill them because we're like, oh, this guy sucks, right? But we know part of the reason why they're there is because of that stuff.
They look gorgeous on camera.
Yeah, they look mm-hmm. yeah, you know what I mean? But we immediately like we discount, you know, mm. But we really should just look at talent first, but that's just a whole other issue. But the thing is, I thought that movie was it was super stylistic, mm-hmm. and I don't know why it didn't. I enjoyed myself in King Arthur.
So you actually liked it?
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
See, that's the thing with a lot of movies, though. Mm-hmm. I go and I go, that didn't move me, but I enjoyed myself. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Alien the same way, the new mm-hmm. Alien. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't like I was like, oh, my God. When's the last oh, my God experience you've had in a movie where you were like, you wanted to see it twice? See, that's the thing for me. Is like, it's like, remember Jurassic Park? First time you saw Jurassic Park? Mm-hmm. Okay. I saw Jurassic Park 9 times in a movie theater because I was so...
It was stunning.
When that dinosaur came out the first time, I was like, you know, you were in there like, here it comes, man. Here, after you saw it again. I haven't seen a movie like that in 10 years that I felt like I want to go see it over and over again. So
I think the first Guardians was like that for me. Like, I couldn't wait to go see it again in the
See, that's what I'm saying. It's mm-hmm. like, and that was, and then they follow it up with something that forgettable. Like, you want to you hope they reboot it.
You didn't like Guardians?
The two, I didn't, like I said, I didn't hate it. But to me, I'm done with this in the Avengers universe. Let's just get them in with the other movies now. That's how I felt about it. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's what happened with King Arthur. I felt like what's the director's name?
Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he Guy Ritchied it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so it was like, and it's, so you felt like, it just felt like a little, it felt too modern. At the same time, it was this olden times thing. And I thought there were some good performances. I loved, what's his name, New Pope?
Jude Law.
Jude Law.
Jude Law.
New Pope. He was doing the same character.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it, mm-hmm. but it didn't move me.
Right. You weren't going to run out to go see it again.
I wasn't going to run out to see it again. But like, it's the kind of thing that if it came on HBO, when HBO has their Saturday preview movie,
right?
Like if you're at home, maybe it's 2:00 in the morning, whatever.
You want to sit through that movie?
Would you sit through it?
Or would you watch Game of Thrones again?
I'd sit through it. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I'd sit through it. So it's just that type of movie. You know,
that's interesting. That's interesting take. I haven't been on the road as much either, but when I am on the road a lot, I feel like my expectations are much lower too, because like you say, I just need something to get me through this flight.
Right.
Or I'm by myself.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, because we only work for an hour. We work for 2 hours and I have 22 hours to kill. And I'm hopefully there's a theater nearby. That's when I saw King Arthur.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, oh, let me go see King Arthur.
Well, this is going to be my day.
This is my day. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, you know what's funny about this, though? This is what I'm saying about it. It does matter who's going and why they're going. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the road by myself, I don't want to go see anything artsy. I don't want to learn shit.
You just want to see some dumb.
I just want to see some. Let me escape. Let me some escapism stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a movie like that does it. And when I'm done, I go, it wasn't bad. But like I said, did it move me?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm. Like you know, what was a recent movie that was like that? What was the one with the Jason Bourne guy that the alien movie where she saw the future? Contact. Not Contact, but
Life. Or
it just came out.
Yeah.
A year ago. Oh my God, I can't think of the.
Aaron,
are you talking about Matt Damon?
No, it's not Matt Damon.
It's not.
It's the guy that he was in the Avengers too. He's
Adams, the movie that was up for Oscars.
Yeah, the movie that was up for Oscars. Yeah.
Oh, Arrival.
Arrival. Oh,
okay. There you go.
Arrival. I see. I take back what I said about not being moved by a movie. Mm-hmm. I thought Arrival was a beautiful movie, mm-hmm. and when I was finished with it, I was like, oh, that got me. And I enjoyed it, okay? And I think that we don't see it
on the road by yourself?
No, actually, I saw it. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't go see it on the road. I saw it in L.A. Mm-hmm. with this actress who was, like, real artsy. You know what I mean? So we're sitting in there, and she's crying, and I'm just like, oh, my God, it was so moving. And I was like, what is this? I go, oh, is this part of it? You know what I mean? Like, am I, you know, so.
So what you're saying is your soul dies on the road.
Yes. Yes. That's true. So, like, if there's like a movie that everybody says you have to go see, and I'm on a road, I'm not gonna go see it,
right?
Because I know that I'm not gonna be in that headspace for that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, sometimes you got to get your pretentious fuck friends together, and you guys go, oh, we got to go see that one at the, you know, at the little theater that, you know what I mean?
Right.
We have to go get our artsy on, you know what I mean? And there's like an improv show before, you know.
They sell healthy food.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no popcorn, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all organic. So that I'm saying is that plays a factor into it. So, and I think that we're being hard on, I haven't seen it, but I do want to see it. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to see it this weekend because I'm going to be on a road. I'll go see it, and I'll just probably be like, oh, okay, you know, this is supposed to be the last one. I don't know if they killed off killed them
off. It's not going to be the
if
way.
I was
it,
on
they
the...
make they make too much money. It's not going to be
what I'm
the
saying.
Last
one. Same with yeah. Fast and the Furious.
If I was on the road this past weekend, I would have seen it.
That's what I mean.
This weekend, I'm home. I've been home for a while. I'm like, fuck that.
It should
not...
be a designation, like, you know, how you say thumbs up, thumbs down. It's like, is this a road movie or is this an in LA movie?
Yeah. Right. Is know? This something I'll just watch 6 months from now when it's on a plane?
Right, right, exactly.
Or am I going to a theater?
Well, I watch the yeah. whole thing. I like watching. Sometimes you like, don't you like watching a movie that people said was shit? Then you watch it on a plane or watch it on HBO and you go, you know what? That wasn't so bad.
Right.
You know, but you don't realize
it changes your expectations.
It changes your expectation, exactly.
Yes. You didn't take time out of your day. But, you didn't spend a bunch of money.
But sometimes there's a movie, though, that...
Happens the other way, too. Everyone goes, oh, it's so fantastic. And then it's you just, go, I'm like, nah,
no.
It's all
right. Or sometimes you go, I can't watch it. This is unwatchable. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you're just like, well, you have to go, I had to turn this off. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sometimes a movie like this, I don't know if that... I don't know, was it that kind of movie? Maybe you watch the whole thing, because it's yeah. also fun... to shit on a movie like this.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
You know, that's why I saw the last Fast and the Furious.
Oh, those are fantastic.
I just
yeah,
I was just, I was in the
fun
theater
movies.
Like, when did they become superheroes? Like when did yeah. when did they go from Mazdas and oh. Nissans?
Oh no, the cars are superheroes too.
So now they're CIA agents.
Yeah, I know.
And stuff.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Did I miss a movie? Was there a training movie that I missed? Was part three like, you know, Fast and the Furious, the CIA days? You know, yeah. Was there some subgenre movie that, you know,
Fast and Furious Quantico?
Yeah.
As soon as you bring in Kurt Russell, it's going to be a shadowy government agency.
But let's all right. So let's talk about this. This yes. We're talking about ways to consume movies. So let's talk mm-hmm. about Chris. You saw War yes. Machine. So this is a very unique thing because this is a
I saw War Machine. Yeah, and feature, it's a giant feature film
that is released. Brad Pitt, $60 million budget. It's mm-hmm. it's based on the Stanley McChrystal getting General McChrystal getting fired. But they released
on Netflix, right?
Released it exclusively on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what?
You know what? It's not a good movie.
Okay.
Which is a shame because I had some higher expectations with this. I really feel like Netflix is doing something very different with their films than they are with their TV series because the TV series seems like there's a fair amount of quality control going on. There's a lot of very good TV series streaming mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. The movies from, you know, Adam Sandler to now Brad Pitt feel like these are like little passion projects that they just give these stars a bunch of money and just say, come back with a movie. And this one missed the mark completely. And here's the thing about a satire. You have to have jokes in it. If you're going to actually have right. a satirical film, it has to be funny. Gentlemen, there's no fighting in here. This is the war room.
Well, I'm not you know, surprised that Brad Pitt is in a movie like that because he made a zombie movie that he didn't want to show any zombie kills in.
Right.
Like...
Oh, I didn't know that. So for World War Z, he didn't want to show zombie
no,
kills?
No, he didn't want to show kills.
Really?
He wanted to, yeah. You didn't, I was like, go make something else, man. Don't ruin this genre with your bullshit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I want a movie that my kids can come see. Then don't make a zombie
Then don't
movie.
Make him a zombie
yeah.
movie. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like saying, like, I want to open a strip club my kids can come to.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's like
a family-friendly strip club.
Yeah. Just don't make a strip club.
Why hasn't anyone
don't
done that
open
before?
I feel like when you're saying this, I feel like yeah. that's because Brad Pitt's a part of it.
Well, and it's, you know, it's Plan B Productions, which is his production company. I can guarantee mm-hmm. this was his fingerprints on it from start to finish. And also, it was very poorly directed, which is surprising because you have a director, David Michaud, who did Animal Kingdom and The Rover. But here's the thing. They were both really bleak, dark, dystopian movies.
Right.
And then you're going to throw him into a satire. It doesn't work. He was the wrong director
Wait,
for the
but
job.
But see, you know what? You don't know what was going on the inside. If Brad Pitt's the executive producer, it's his company. How maybe he wasn't allowed to direct.
I
agree. I think that's mm-hmm. what yeah. happened when you have Brad Pitt saying, "I want a strip club for my kids,"
right?
And then you have this guy. Like, so let's look at Animal Kingdom and The Rover real quick. No big budget stars.
No
low budget stuff. Shot in Australia. It's Animal Kingdom before Joel Edgerton broke out.
Right.
So they were
very dark and bleak.
Right. And it was his movie. So
yes.
when you're directing a low budget or indie film in Australia, using Australia's yeah. film money,
right.
and you don't have
and landscape
and you don't have giant actors. It's exactly mm-hmm. what Eric you just said. I mm-hmm. bet you. because Animal Kingdom didn't have a megastar going, no. You frame me this way.
Yeah.
And I bet you
that's... Not to say we don't know, but it just feels like...
It felt like that something was very off through the entire film.
Boom.
And one of the things, too, was Brad Pitt's character. Like, they couldn't get a bead on what or who he was supposed to be. Like, he's being set up as this basically genius general with, you know, all these credits and, you know, top of his class and went to the best schools and had all these successes. And then he's portrayed as this ignorant buffoon who doesn't understand what's going on in Afghanistan. And then he's portrayed again as trying to get a hold of the situation that no one else understands. Like, well, you have to pick one thing. You can't have it all these different ways, because what happens is then you have a character that's an absolute mess, and we don't know, should we root for him? What kind of, like, you can't admit one character trait in one scene and then be a different character in another scene. And it went all over the map throughout this entire movie.
Well, see, that has
movie.
A lot to do with, like, I hate, it sucks that the director gets the blame for all that, because that, to me, sounds like editing choices and also, you know, the actor themselves not being consistent.
It also sounds like an uneven script.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
a very,
I mean?
Uneven, I mean, script. A lot of stuff.
But here's the thing about, like, what I love about Netflix, by the way, is, and they are trying to put, they do put movies out in theaters because they're trying to win Oscars.
Right.
Qualifying runs,
which is, you have to be in L.A. and New York.
They did that with Beast of No Nation.
Right, you have to play, you have to play
which should
in a
have
theater
won.
That you have to play in a theater that is showing other movies. It's a whole designation they have. They're trying to do that, and I love it. But the thing I like about Netflix, though, is like when you watch like that first Adam Sandler movie with what's his face, not Dana Carvey.
Was this The Cobbler, or was this a different one?
No, the one that he made before. He comes to the Comedy Store all the time. Spade. I enjoyed that movie. The one with Spade, I enjoyed it. But check it out. I didn't have to get in my car, drive to a theater, get popcorn, have these expectations, deal with public, you know, and have it on the... No. This was a great little right on the screen. I'm watching it whenever I want. And for that, it served its purpose. Because the other one...
It's like you were on the road.
Yes. But I was at home. So I feel like... I think he's found his nook. Because... When you have, like, look at this budget for, like, you know, that one we saw for Pirates. Imagine if Netflix spent $230 million on a movie, you know, and then it just, you know, you were like, there's too much that goes into it.
Right.
With Netflix, they just keep it nice and...
Well, $60 million still a decent budget.
but for a company that makes $500 million a month...
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, these actors that are getting all this money for Netflix, and they gave Will Smith like $100 million. I mean, that's a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not to them.
No, it's not. And I'll say this. I mean, having not seen War Machine, and I'm bummed that it didn't work.
I got to watch it because, by the way, RJ, who's in I'm Dying Up Here, is in it, right?
Yeah.
The black kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Aaron?
Yeah, he is. RJ Seiler. He's in Power Rangers. And here, he's in that. He's also on the lineup here. So I want to watch it.
I will say one positive thing about this movie. It has moments where you're like, oh, these moments belong in a better movie. Like, there's moments of, like, clarity and satire of, like, well, why are we growing heroin? Because there's rules that why can't we grow cotton here? Because there's rules where they can't grow a crop that will compete with America. So we're growing heroin. So, like, there's things to be explored satirically that never get there in this movie.
Well, the thing I like is just Netflix platform or what they're doing. Like, I applaud them for saying, let's do an A-list celebrity movie with an exclusive release. Well, I'll give them credit for that.
Let me take the credit away. let me tell you something. If you're charging people $9 a month, you have to justify that with content.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not doing anything. Like, they're not like, oh, it's not groundbreaking. It's the studios and everybody's. Like, first of all, they put Blockbuster out of business.
Right.
Okay? And then the studios started to go, we don't need you either.
Right.
Like, see, why should I put my app, why should I put my movies on your thing? Because I'm going to, okay, you can have it for 6 months. Now I'm going to put it someplace else. Now, if you're at home, imagine if they didn't have original content.
Right.
How shitty would Netflix be?
Well, they ran into
well,
that problem.
Yeah.
No, I know this isn't some benevolent thing. I'm not saying, what I'm saying is they're adapting. Well, they've been trend setting.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They,
for real.
and some of it was out of necessity. So they had, like, what was it, 6-7 years ago, they had all these deals with stars, and they would, so they were just acquiring pre-existing content, and
But they were probably sitting in, like, a bathtub of gold.
Right.
The executives, you know, just making hand over fist money. The amount of money. What do they have, 40 million subscribers? Mm-hmm. At just $10 a month?
Well, at first, if you remember, too, the original content was like, oh, we're going to pick up shows that other networks have canceled. That was the first round. And then realize, hey, why are we doing that? Why don't we just make our own content that's better? And then that's pretty much what they've been doing ever since.
Yeah.
So because they just need new, because they don't need ratings. They don't need any. They don't need box office.
They need to subscribers. They need to maintain, too. Check that out, too.
HBO. It's the HBO model.
They want new subscribers, but they want to maintain their subscribers, too. And it's like, but HBO has been doing it for so long, I don't even realize it. It's the same thing. What's changed in society is not this format we're talking about. It's just how the consumer is getting the product.
Yes.
But also HBO, though, has always had one foot in old. They still are relying on ratings. Uh-huh. They still need Nielsen ratings.
Because this is what HBO Showtime Go. Is doing, too.
Right.
Showtime Anytime, which you should go download so you can watch my show, I'm Dying Up Here, and my comedy special on July 7th, The Ugly Truth. Anyway, shameless
plug. We'll get into that for sure.
But I'm saying is that what they're trying to do now is now Showtime's trying to do the same thing.
Everyone is.
They're going
CBS
to this.
CBS is doing
get
it.
Our app. Get our app. Get our app and watch it on your
demand.
Smart TV. Watch it on demand. Watch when you want. Because first of all, I have cable and I still don't know why I have it, but I have it because I like watching sports. And I think I'm also old. So I also feel like it's like having a phone number.
Do you have kids?
Right? No.
Okay, that's one of the reasons, too.
That would be one of the reasons why you have
it. We keep it for the.
But like, what I notice is. Like I DVR shows still because I'm a junkie for TV, I have my guilty pleasures. Like I love the originals and Vampire Diaries, and I never miss Scandal. You know, I got to see what Olivia's doing. You know, but what I found is this: I don't DVR it anymore. I watch it on Hulu. If it's on Hulu, then I'm like perfect. Now I take it off my DVR because there's no commercials on Hulu. For just for like a dollar or two more, and that's so convenient. So now I'm finding that I'm even watching those type of shows, and even Hulu's starting to get movies now too.
Right.
You know, and they hooked up with Showtime.
And even CW has an app where if you want to watch.
No, check it out. Mm-hmm. They all have an app. Mm-hmm. Every single station has an app. FX has an app. FXX has its own app if you wanted to get that, you know? Everything has an app. And so now it's just a matter of, like, where do I want to watch these things? And, like, first of all, I have two smart TVs at my place, all right? I have an Xbox. So I look at stuff. I look at stuff on the Xbox. I look at stuff on my smart TV. Mm-hmm. I look at stuff, like, maybe on your phone, and you send it to your TV.
Now, wait, I'm curious because we have PlayStation. That's where I get the apps through. Like, which ones do you watch on Xbox, the apps that you don't do on your smart TV?
Check this out. My Xbox One, I have it hooked up to my cable box. So I'm watching everything. My Xbox is always on. So and then they have a great accompanying app with it. So like, let's say I'm searching for something. Let's say I want to watch The Godfather. I might put in my app. I go Godfather. And it'll find where I can watch it. So it'll say like, oh, you can buy it here. Or you can watch it here, or you can, you know, it's coming on TNT. It's coming, you know, like you can find out. Yeah. So I like the Xbox, but they're both the same. They're the same. They're comparable. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just I just prefer. I love having that feature. So like you can go Xbox on, you know, and it'll turn on, and I can say Xbox watch TNT, and it'll turn the channel to TNT, or I might be like open Hulu, and then Hulu whatever I want. So I realize
Xbox eliminate humans.
Yes. I know. So I realize that I'm integrating the technology is integrated completely with like what kind of TV. I have a 4K TV and you know all that, and that's how you want to watch shows. That's why by the way, the internet is never going to take over for television. Like you making your little show in your garage, like you've never been on a real set to see all that happens with the lighting and the sound, and we're never going to get rid of that, and we're never going to lose the movie experience. We still want to go to the theater.
Yes.
Like that's why they figured this out. So that's why a lot of movies come out now. It comes out on iTunes and in the theaters because people are not going to not go watch the movie. We love that experience. So in the same way with the TV shows, I want to watch it on my TV. So now I don't even know when shows come on. I don't know what the time of them are. You can binge watch whatever you want.
Right.
You put in like, you know, you have the different apps. I have so many apps on my damn Xbox that I watch. But then now it's about which ones has the least amount of commercials. Which ones? You know, that's what you have to find out now, because these apps for these places—they're
going to start competing with each other.
They're worst though.
Yeah,
like you like this the AMC app or the FX. It's like you're watching more commercials
than regular television. Yeah.
You know,
so, all right, so let's get into the next film.
Well, let's talk about but this is it's also relevant because I watched this movie Christine, which came out in 2016. I watched it on
not about the car.
I watched one. This is not about.
That's what I thought. Did they remake Christine?
Yeah, they remade it,
which was a great movie.
That was a great movie. This was not that. Yeah. this came out in 2016, and it's about a real woman who in the 70s was a news journalist, and. I don't want to give away the thing, but she is doing and this is what happens in the film. She does like think pieces on this Sarasota news channel, Sarasota, Florida. It's in the 70s, and it's right in like 74 is when they start saying, you know, we need better ratings, and if it bleeds, it leads. They start that thing. And she's like wrestling with that. And this actual woman was wrestling with that and some other stuff, and there was a very dramatic event that happened. So I won't give that away. This movie is interesting. The actors all do a fine job of, and the director of.
So it's kind of a biopic.
It's a biopic. It's absolutely a biopic. It's based on this actual woman and these actual events. So they kind of stick to the timeline. Because we went online and looked at Wikipedia and like checked to see. It just takes forever. So they establish. Those things I just told you. She's very smart. She's.
Is it in the theaters?
No. It was in the theaters last year at a limited release. Mm. I think they were trying to get some Oscar movement from it. It didn't happen.
It won at Sundance.
Yeah, it won at Sundance, and there's fine performances. It just takes forever because they establish these things very early on. She's an introvert. She might be suffering from some type of mental illness or depression. They kind of allude to it. You don't know. She's awkward. She's highly intelligent. And she's like the smartest person there and doesn't want to do this sensationalist journalism. They establish that early on. And then it just they keep explaining that over. It's like, yeah, man, let's go. We know what's happening. She goes out and is like trying to find, like she gets a police scanner. I'm going to find the sensationalist story. Okay, great. And they just take so long. We were like an hour in and there was another 45 minutes or something. And I'm like, yeah, I know where this is fucking going. Like, let's let's get.
So you didn't like it.
I did. Overall, I can't say
I liked
it.
You know what's funny? What you're doing right now is like, it's great to get like a big budget movie that has like, you know, special effects. It's so easy to trash those, right? But like, this is like this artsy movie. You're so
you want to like it,
but it's like, hey, it all boils down to the same thing I was talking about earlier for the
story.
The same reason why the big budget special effects movie we don't like it is the same reason why the little artsy Sundance film we don't like it. It's not a good story.
Yeah. It's not a good story. I will give this.
They have the same foundation. The
same
script.
Foundation. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I will give the low budget movie a little more credit because when I see $230 million, you better make that like I'm not cutting you any slack when you have that kind of money. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but it's just like, I just feel like New York comics should be funnier because they get more spots. But it's not always the case.
No, because all they do is talk about New York.
It's not always the case. So what I'm just saying is like, I don't care how much the budget is. To me, it's like the more hands you have in it, the more potential it is for a disaster. With something with a $230 million budget, you're talking about how many editors and all the special effects probably took 2 years.
Right.
Like, there's a lot that goes into that.
A thousand.
You've got a team of executives.
A team of executives standing over you.
Yeah.
So with this kind of movie, it's less. So it's more. They actually get more blame.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They get more blame. The director and like the one editor. The one director, the one producer that made the little low-budget movie, if it sucks, we can get those people in a room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'd just be, who the fuck is responsible for this? And they would just be like, well, you know, Tim's the editor. He, you know, they, you know. So actually, I feel like they get more. They shouldn't be let off the hook just because another place has more money. That's right. That's my feeling on that.
All right.
All right. Fair
well,
enough.
Well, here's an interesting thing that happened, though, is talking about the search algorithm on Netflix. So mm-hmm. I just typed in CHR, mm-hmm. and this movie came up. And then this slew. There is a hidden world of Christmas movies on Netflix that are all the cover art is the same. It's a white couple, a young, and the stories are all the yeah. same. And she's a businesswoman who thinks she's in love, but
so
doesn't.
So they have an output deal with the Hallmark Channel.
It's Mar Vista. Mar Vista oh, yes. fucking produces all of them. And my
I just met with them. We talked about it.
Oh my God, my girlfriend and I started watching A Merry Christmas. And it's like it's
you loved
a,
it.
It's a bunch of actors you've never heard of. They shot it in Riverside.
They do two kinds of movies. They do those Christmas movies, and then they do like the thriller danger, you
right?
know, somebody, young person in peril movies.
It's unbelievable. And there's like, and they she kisses this guy in an elevator who's she's engaged to a guy that's a real dick. And kisses this guy in the elevator. And
what's going to happen in that movie?
Oh, God, I don't know. Who's going to get together? And then in the flashbacks, both the guy that she kissed in the elevator and the woman, they both flashback at different points in the movie to the elevator kiss. And in both of their memories, the aspect ratio is off.
Yeah, so that's great.
It's unbelievable, but I urge everybody.
So you saw another movie then after this?
I did. I saw.
Well, see, this is what's weird about Netflix. Like, I love talking to people about their Netflix thing. They always say, man, did you know they have this many documentaries on? And it's because.
That's what you watched.
That's what you watched.
Yes.
This is the same. It's the same thing with porn. Right. People are yeah. like, you notice that there's a lot of Asian women. Thing? And I was like, no, that's because you searched like three times. And
so
that's
now
what,
we know yeah. Graham likes Christmas movies.
Yeah.
No, here's what I'm telling you. Type in Christmas on Netflix and please watch. All the plots are the same.
But I don't want to see because you've seen and then all those things are going to come yeah. up.
Then I got trapped. We were looking at all the descriptions and we couldn't get out.
You're in a Christmas loop.
I couldn't get out of
them. You're in Groundhog yeah. Day.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was see you next Merry Christmas and the wedding Christmas and the holiday love oh, and the Santa's fun time.
So now let's talk about... Eric, you have a show coming out.
Yes, I have this show on Showtime called I'm mm-hmm. Dying Up Here. It's loosely based off the book. It's more based off really a lot of Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's our executive producer. You know, he told a lot of great stories.
Because it was about basically kind of like Mitzi and the Store in the 70s, right?
Yeah, it's
right.
But it's a fictional place called Goldie's, played by Melissa Leo. Mm-hmm. She does a fantastic job. You know, it's about this. It's really about these comics and how they deal.
And when you would get a pass, you would go to the next level. But the store owner had to, you know, the club owner had to approve you.
Well,
right?
Sort of. It's really just about the struggles of this during the time of this comedy boom, like of mm-hmm. people trying to make it, trying to be famous. And it's just the beginning stage of the young careers of these comics. And it just represents what was going on in that time. You
right.
know? Because these people exist in our world, like Leno and Letterman mm-hmm. and like Richard Pryor. And these people exist in our world. And so this is just like a story about a group of these people, you know, and how they maneuver through their lives and through
And back then it was like you had to get on The Tonight Show. That was it.
Right. That
there
was
no YouTube yeah. or
the
Twitter.
Kingmaker.
Yeah.
Well, now tell us about your character. Like, who do you play on?
I play a guy named Ralph King, and he was mm-hmm. a Vietnam vet, and now he's writing on a television. He writes on Sonny and Cher.
Oh, that's great.
And he, but the thing about him is that he has something what I like to call the golden handcuffs. You know, it's like, you know how a guy that gets on the road and he's making a good living, but he doesn't do anything else in the career? That's mm-hmm. what this guy, he's comfortable. You know, and he sees himself as somebody that's made it, you know? But then this young kid comes along, and he realizes what he hasn't done in his career. So there's a lot of jealousy throughout the season about this. There's a tension between them. But he's a level-headed guy. Level-headed guy, fun, heart and soul of the cast, I'd like to think.
Well, but that's the golden handcuffs thing. Like, we all know people, we've seen comics who then, you know, start getting in the writing world. and they start getting writing on shows, and they're making good union WGA writing money with pension and benefits. And some of them are
get on a podcast that starts paying your bills.
Yeah.
And then what you're gone. Hey, I haven't seen you out on the road in a while, Graham. Yeah.
Clocking in those Christmas movies.
Yep. That's why. And that's podcast money.
You know, so it's about, you know, but overall, again, it was a great cast. It's like so many people. Al Madrigal, Andrew Santino, Clark Duke, R.J. Styler, Ari Grainer, Mike Agriano.
Isn't Rick Overton in it too?
He just plays like he's a guest star, you know. Okay. So we had a lot of guest stars, and I think if the show's a hit, I think you're going to see more people wanting to be like, you know, those old school cats wanting to be like, I want to be on that. I want to, you know, because they remember.
Where are you shoot? Do you shoot this?
We shot in L.A.
All over the city, like sound stages or like?
No. We had a sound. They built that the club. It was beautiful. Like just the way it looks and feels. It's a beautifully shot show. The cinematographer and all that. They did a great job just with the smoke.
Because if not, you could get them all in a room and talk to them about it.
You probably could with this one, yeah. If this isn't good, I'll give you some names. So I'm really proud of the work that we did on the show.
I think when's it on?
It comes on June 4th. And you can watch it right now, though, on the app. Because you can watch 4 episodes of Twin Peaks, and you can watch I'm Dying Up Here right now.
If you get the Showtime app.
If you get
right
the Showtime
now.
App, and you can you can watch the pilot also on YouTube.
Okay.
They put the pilot on YouTube because they want people to,
right?
You know, and it worked because they had a big surge in
got to get people
in
hooked.
Subscriptions
first
on
one
Showtime
is free.
Anytime. Yeah.
Yeah. First one's free.
Like
then you
got
to pay.
Yeah. Yes. No, man, I got this show. Come here. You want to taste this show? Come taste this show.
Pretty soon Showtime's pimping you out.
Yeah, like, People are like, I got to have it, man. You got that I'm dying up here? You got that I'm dying up here? It already sounds like a drug anyway.
It does.
At a club.
Well, that sounds great.
That's cool. So how many episodes you guys do?
We did 10 episodes. 10 episodes. Starts on June 4th. And then on July 7th, you can watch my very first comedy special.
Also on Showtime.
Oh,
great.
Mm-hmm. Al Madrigal, he had his special, came out on May 5th. So make sure you watch his special, because he's on the show and he has his own special. Really funny. Shrimpin' Ain't Easy. And then Andrew Santino, June 2nd, Home Field Advantage, I believe, is the name of his special. That's still going to be on Showtime. So, you know, they gave 3 of us specials because we're the comics on the show, like the real comics on the show. And, you know, it's a big, nice, great family. And I'm proud of it. Like I said, I'm proud of the work we did. And I hope people.
Oh, that's great.
Go to Showtime. Get the Showtime app, you guys.
You can do it right now for free.
Yeah, you can watch it right now before the 4th.
And the one of the other ads we want to do, we want to mention our Patreon ad supporter. This is Mike Valdez. Who is Mike Valdez? Valdez.com. You can check out his comedy and his music there.
Guys, if you do the $50 a month level, we'll read your website or your business or whatever you want us to promote.
Every show.
MikeValdez.com.
So who is MikeValdez.com? And the trailers we saw. We saw the Emoji Movie trailer.
Yay.
I would have loved to have been in the pitch meeting for that. I really would.
Emoji Movie trailer was made the same as the, what was the food one that Seth Rogen made.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. It's just some very
Sausage Party?
Sausage Party.
It felt more like it's like a knockoff of like Inside Out. Inside Out is good. Look, there's a world inside somebody's head. Now there's a world inside your phone. And look, what happens there?
But I mean, that's just like, that's how that came
world
about.
Inside your food.
Probably somebody's little girl was like, do you think that these things are real, Mommy? And somebody, or, you know, Daddy, are these real? And they went,
book it.
Oh,
yeah, they are.
And he brought the daughter in at the pitch, you know?
Yeah.
She had to sign an NDA.
Yeah.
She got a writer credit. Yeah. But I don't know. Listen, if you have kids, anything like that is going to be enjoyable to kids.
It's catnip for kids.
You're going to take your kids to this.
They're going to want to see it for sure, yeah.
TJ Miller, who's been on the show, does a voice.
Yeah, he's the star.
You know, he just left Silicon Valley. I just read an article about it.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It seems crazy to me.
Yeah, why would you want to be on that fun, awesome show?
I don't know.
So the next trailer we saw was Logan Lucky. Now, this one actually looks like a fun movie. It feels like it's a Steven Soderbergh kind of like a tongue-in-cheek heist movie, but it
we
has called, like
we all
that,
said it. It's a Redneck Ocean's 11.
Yeah, it's a Redneck Ocean's 11, and it really feels like it has like a Coen Brothers.
We'll have to wait and see, though. They do this a lot. Let's grab 10, you know, lower A-list stars, upper B stars, put them in the trailer, have them saying and doing funny things, and then it just doesn't work. There's a potential for that.
There is a potential for that, but I have faith in Steven Soderbergh.
But you got James Bond. Yeah, you got James Bond doing a crazy...
Redneck axe.
Redneck killed the
He was great, though. That was good. That's worth just watching the trailer to be like, I got to see how this guy does this.
And on DVDs and Blu-ray, we have Fist Fight. Now, this is a movie that we saw the
this
trailer
is example
for.
Both, of what I'm talking about.
We really enjoyed it. Did you get to see it?
No, I didn't see it, but I know that that's exactly what I mean. Let's grab Ice Cube and grab this person and that person. And it seemed like a fun concept. Jillian Bell, who was on Workaholics with me, is in it. You know, so I do have to check it out. I'll wait for it to come on HBO.
This is like 3 o'clock high for teachers. That's the one we're talking about, right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I actually, the trailer made me want to see the movie.
Oh,
but
good.
I just missed it. But I'll check it out on DVD.
Oh, so you
Blu-ray.
Didn't see it, though?
I didn't see it, though.
So it made you want to see it, but you didn't see
right,
it.
Right. I didn't get a chance
that's
to check
like
it
you,
out.
You can't do that, man. You can't do that. What you just did was like, hey, I'm at the store. I almost bought you a Christmas gift.
Yeah. It's...
I was thinking about you. I almost bought you this.
But I ran out of time.
I had the money.
Yeah.
I just
didn't bother.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I blew it off.
So I'm going to check it out on DVD for sure. The next movie is The Black Coat's Daughter. This one I did see. This was that indie horror film about possession, about two girl school girls who get left over the holiday. And it's shot in a very non-linear way. So it flashes back and forward. And it's one of those artsy horror movies that rewards patience. But if you don't have the patience for it, you're going to hate it.
Oh.
It's one of those where you have to kind of pay attention. It definitely sent me to Wikipedia when it was done to see, like, I think this is what happened, but let me double check and read actually what was going on. But it was the kind of movie, though, that all of the clues and information was there. It was very competently put together. So it was the kind of movie, too. I think it was a first-time director. And it was an indie horror movie. Now I'm excited to see the filmmaker's next film, like when it kind of got like the, like there's definitely some problems with it, but it's definitely worth a look. And okay, in the site spotlight and the fan feedback, they check out the weekly film news and also Neil's review of Pirates. He absolutely had a horrible time at the film watching it. It's a nice trashing of the film on the site. So you want to check it out.
It's a decent trashing.
Yeah, Neil's always funny.
By the way,
hates the movie.
I can't wait for Wonder Woman because when I was a kid, that was my first crush. Remember the Wonder Woman TV show?
Oh, Linda Carter.
Yeah.
Linda Carter.
I'll give you some fan feedback. So, we've talked about Wonder Woman and having, you know, on the show a couple episodes ago, we're like, man, they should have cast somebody like Lucy Lawless or, you know, Ronda Rousey, someone like that. And this
Ronda Rousey?
But someone that's like looks like a fighter. Like, that's who Wonder Woman is.
I totally disagree with you. No. Wow. That is, I disagree with you 100%. No, Wonder Woman doesn't have to look like someone who should be able to be a fighter. No, she's Wonder Woman. It's just like how Superman, if you saw Superman in person, like the real guy, he doesn't look like an imposing character.
But wait a minute.
He's from Krypton and he has superpowers.
But he's ripped.
And he has
muscles. Gail Gadot, here's the thing we brought up.
She looks delicious. What are you talking about?
She doesn't look like a fighter.
She looks athletic enough.
Well, here's the
thing. Ronda Rousey looks like you.
Right. I should be Wonder Woman. That's what I'm
saying. No, I don't want a dude-ish girl.
But like Lucy Lawless, somebody like that.
She could be sexy and athletic and, you know. Women are going to hate this comment you said.
Well, no, they're going to hate your comment because you're saying Ronda Rousey's not sexy. You're saying she's not a beautiful woman.
Hey,
you're saying
so every woman that we like, every woman in the public, we should find sexy?
By the way, I'm fascinated by this conversation.
Well, no.
Please continue.
Here's the thing. What I said on the show is many people, I've heard women make complaints about Wonder Woman.
Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ.
That's all they do. They think I can be happy with anything. You know what I mean?
You're not married?
No. No. You know why? Because you can't get married until you accept the concept of happy wife, happy life. And you can't get married until you can accept that and live by that. Because what it really means is that...
I was just busting your balls, if you want to really answer this question, go into it.
So Wonder Woman.
Here's the
Please
point
continue.
I was making.
She looks great, though.
Here's the point I was making before I was interrupted.
She's been a secret agent in another movie, by the way.
So what? So what?
She has a
Let
history.
Let me finish, jackass.
She has a history of being a powerful woman, and now she's the most powerful woman ever, Wonder Woman.
So when I finish, you will now. Okay. What the guy brought up, I did not know this. Gail Godot was in the Israeli army. That made me go, okay, maybe she can pull this off because
maybe.
Yeah, maybe, because here's the thing. If all I've seen her do is be a model and be pretty, can she be the strong Wonder Woman badass? Because I'm, again, I refer to Lucy Lawless. I think it should have been somebody cast like that. Lucy Lawless was strong and a badass and beautiful. And she came on screen and you went, damn, I'm not messing with her. So that's the thing that's my question with this movie. I want it to do well because they refuse to give a female superhero their own movie. And my fear is if they do this incorrectly and make the mistakes, as you pointed out, that DC continues to make with casting and everything else, then
the story, plot,
all of it, then they're going to go, if this movie tanks, they're going to go, oh, see, you
can't have a female
superhero.
Hopefully it'll have, I will say this about the DC movies, the best Batman fight scene ever was in Batman Superman. That when he was saving the mom, that whole sequence was fantastic. But it just the movie sucked.
Yeah, I checked out of that film, so I
know,
I don't
but I've seen. Hopefully they have, because I've seen some of the special effects and some of the fighting. They make her look pretty. They make her look strong and powerful.
The magic lasso looks cool.
I hope so.
I'm talking about her movement. I'm just saying, like, everything about in the trailer about she's moving and how I love it.
I wish she was sliding on the floor more though in the trailer.
Just so you want a woman on her knees. Here we go, everybody. This is
you
what I'm saying.
See every
the
trailer?
Misogyny on this show.
You literally have her sliding.
Black Lives Matter. All right.
One. Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
But that's
do need some black people in this movie.
So
there's no black DC superhero.
So I'm really
thanks for bringing that up.
Way to go,
Will Smith. But he's a bad guy.
Wait a minute.
He saved that movie, by the way, Suicide Squad. Oh. You take Will Smith out of that movie. And
how do you?
I'd like to take me out of that watching that movie.
If Will Smith wasn't in that movie, you would go hire Deadpool to kill you.
Yeah,
because you were watching that movie.
It was a terrible film.
It was an insider.
Will Smith did his best, but yeah, what I was saying is, it's like these movies still with DC keeps trying to do these like stylized action sequences where there's always this sliding and like, well, no, just show some fighting, show some cool action fighting. So I'm hoping, I really want this movie to do well, and I want it to be good. I want both those things to happen.
It's going to lead us into Justice League. Because we want Justice League to be good.
I want to see a course correction for DC so badly.
DC.
So I'm excited to see this movie.
I want this movie to be good.
Yeah.
Hearing that she was an Israeli soldier, okay, great.
Right.
She's not just a pretty model that the executives we need to get.
And
but DC's
she's been in other things, like I said.
And also, you have like there's these scenes like World War One. That's interesting to me. Like, okay, well, it's cool that she gets up and she's out of the trenches fighting right through World War One. That looks really cool.
So Captain America with a girl.
So well, that's
just
that's
to the story of who Wonder Woman is. Like that's the thing that DC refuses to stick with the source material.
But then you have actors trying to say with a straight face, like you have to be careful of Dr. Poison. Like that. So I'm not sure what we're going to get, but I'm hoping
it's good. We
don't
know much about Wonder Woman, though. We don't know much. It's not in our lexicon of our
Well, you know, there's
everything. Someone that doesn't even read comics can tell you where Superman's from.
There's a great
Spider-Man.
There's a great animated DC, when the DC animated universe, they did a great origin story for Wonder Woman. It was really good. So if you want to check that out as a primer, that's available right now.
But I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman, and I'm also looking forward to Thor, because I thought that
trailer's great.
Yeah.
That's a great trailer.
Looking forward to that, too.
It's a great trailer.
So, and then the other movie that is
but it's racist against green people.
Yes.
is Captain Underpants.
The first epic movie. This is a hugely popular kids book, so it was only a matter of time before the movie would come out. Mm-hmm. So I have to say I don't know that much about Captain Underpants, other than I believe the kids do something to the principal to make him convinced or
it feels like some of these movies
that
just has a built-in audience. It has a built-in audience.
It is, yeah.
If you don't know it, it doesn't matter.
And the Wimpy Kid Diary books.
Right. The economics of these films is very simple. There's no one ticket that gets sold. You know, if your kids go, it's a minimum of two tickets.
Right.
One kid, one parent.
Yeah.
Every time you go. So, or it's most likely it'll be four or five at a time.
Yeah.
It should be two for one.
How dare they?
Kids' movies should be two for one. Unless something, two for one popcorn, something.
But you know what? That's so funny. That's such an interesting concept to think about. So if you look at any kids' movie, and let's say it makes $100 million, it really was only supposed to make 50.
Because you have
maybe 35.
Right. Is it, you know? There's at least one parent or a guardian
parent
going
has to
with
go,
the, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. What a, we need to start making kids movies.
Yes.
Straight up. I'm in.
Maybe you need to do a kids podcast where the parents have to listen.
Yes.
We get good downloads.
Yeah, we do it. Another set of ears. So, all right.
That's it. Eric,
that's the show.
Eric Griffin, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
At Eric Griffin, you know, with a K, Eric Griffin. And I'm on website, ericgriffin.com. But you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, all the main things as my name, Eric Griffin. I'm even on Xbox as Eric Griffin.
Okay. Good to know.
And I'm Dying Up Here, which you can get now.
You
can
get now.
On the Showtime
June 4th,
app.
I'm Dying Up Here. Check that out. And check me out, too, on my special July 7th. On Showtime.
Eric's a very funny man. I'm one of the first comics I met when I moved out here 20 years ago.
I know, and I stopped. I wasn't even.
You weren't even doing stand-up.
I wasn't even doing it like that.
And then you got back into it.
Now I'm a thespian. I'm an actor, Graham. 40, you know. I'm Daniel Day-Lewis up in this bitch.
So yeah, that's our show, guys. And as we said, go to the Patreon page.
Yes, please.
The full video of this episode will be on the Patreon. The clips are on the YouTube.com/comedyfilmnerds. So start subscribing to the YouTube channel, and then you get all the cool bonus stuff on Patreon. And follow us all online at Comedy Film Nerds, at Chris J. Mancini, at Graham Elwood, on all the social media. That's a great way to support the show, too.
Yes, good reviews on iTunes help as well.
The likes, the subscribes, the follows are great free ways to support the show. Mm-hmm. And then go to the Patreon and join our
for the not free ways to
support
the
our
show.
Cult. Join our church cult, as Eric pointed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movieology religion.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. L. Ron Hubbard's film news.
Elwood Hubbard over
there. Elwood Hubbard. Hey. Thank you to Aaron Brungard on the ones and twos at the All Things Comedy Studio. Brenton doing the social media and hooking me up with a parking spot when we did the All Things Comedy show at the Comedy Store.
Nice.
That was cool. Parking over there is a little rough. I think that's it. Anything else?
That's it. No.
All right, guys. My name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.